Unit 4, Prehistoric Culture, Deccan and South India. Page 36, Unit 4, Prehistoric Culture, Deccan and South India. Structure 4.0, Objectives. 4.1, Introduction. 4.2, Early Man in South India. 4.2.1, Prehistoric or Stone Age. 4.3, Paleolithic Age. 4.4, The Neolithic Age. 4.5, Prehistoric Sites in Karnataka. 4.6, Let us sum up. 4.7, Questions for Self-Study. 4.8, Books for Further Study. Page 37, 4.0, Objectives. The purpose of this unit is to introduce you the settlement patterns and the contribution of early man in Deccan and South India. This period is also known as prehistoric or Stone Age culture. After acquainting yourself with the facts of this unit, you will be able to learn the following: early man's physical objects and evidences of settlement patterns in different parts of South India. Important stages of prehistoric culture. The main characteristic features of Old Stone Age, man hunting and food gathering. The achievements of New Stone Age man, domestication animals, sedentary agriculture, village settlements. Some important prehistoric sites of Karnataka. 4.1, Introductions. This unit deals with the activities and achievements of early man in Deccan and South India. This period is known as prehistorical period or Stone Age culture. This period is characterized by complete absence of written records, and therefore the main sources of information for this period is the remains or relics of the past man. Geologists and anthropologists believe that this part of India was inhabited by early man, and this was one of the cradles of early civilization. During this age, biological and cultural evolution of man is found in different stages. The available physical evidence and cultural artifact would help us to know the achievements of man during this age. The cultural evolution of man during this period is traced into two main stages, that is, Old Stone Age and New Stone Age culture, which followed by Metallic Age. All the traces of the two great periods are found in Deccan, in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. The prehistoric findings in South India enable us to rank South India with not only the rest of India but with the ancient world. Page 38, 4.2, Early Man in South India. It should be noted that for a long time historians and anthropologists were of the opinion that Indian subcontinent was not inhabited by man in the earliest phase of human civilization. According to them, his migration into India took place very late. But modern researchers have disclosed the fact that there was human habitation in India ever since the origin of the human species on Earth. When E.O. James announced in his learned work, An Introduction to Anthropology, 1919, that traces of the tertiary forerunners of the apes and man can be made out by investigations in the neighborhood of Shivalik mountain regions, then the attention of the scholars was attracted. According to him, a generalized type of ape related to the chimpanzee, the gorilla, and the gibbon resembling man are traced in these regions. However, the relics of this type of man could not be obtained in India. It may be due to the fact that he did not live in caves, but selected to live in open plains and on the river banks or in the hilly tracts. As these regions were exposed to the fury of monsoon winds and tropical rains, they must have taken away the parts of his carcass into ocean. Therefore, the traces of the early man in South India can be made out only from the artifacts left by him. The tools of early man are more reliable as evidence of his presence in locality than the ambiguous skulls and doubtful teeth and thigh bones which the biologists have so far relied on to fix the age or the place of human evolution. The investigators who have been engaged in collecting early human artifacts in South India are forced to conclude that the man first appeared in the edge of the Deccan Plateau as pointed by P.T. Srinivasa Iyengar. This can be confirmed by the making on the map all the fine spots of the Paleolithic tools so far discovered in South India. Most of the earliest artifacts of man discovered in South India are made of stone. Therefore, this stage of primitive man has been described as the Stone Age culture. Age 39, 4.2.1, Prehistoric or Stone Age. Culture can be gleaned from the settlements and artifacts of the primitive man when he had to pass through roaming in favor of a congenial settlements. Environment had played an important role in the life of prehistoric man. Generally, the primitive man settled in those regions where food can be secured easily and secure from enemies. River valleys have provided settlements to the primitive man as they ensure supply of water, food and communication. The pebbles of the rivers constituted an important raw material for the manufacture of his tools. Before man learned the use of stones, he appears to have used the wooden weapons. But no traces of wooden tools are available as the termites or white ants must have eaten them away. The earliest tools must have been made by hammering a piece of gravel with another stone to improve its shape to adopt it for use. Lithic or stone tools are the chief evidence of early man's residence or settlement in any locality of India. These settlements may be said to have been the home of the lithic man. Early man has displayed great skill in shaping these tools. For a very long time, he was content to use only rough and crude tools. Then he learned to grind the surface of his tools till they became very smooth. This long stage of history of lithic man or prehistoric man is divided into two periods. They are Paleolithic or the Old Stone Age and Neolithic Age or New Stone Age. 4.3 Paleolithic Age. The Old Stone Age culture in India is similar to that of Europe and the rest of the world. Paleolithic have been found chiefly in South India. The Kurnool district has yielded abundant Paleolithic remains considerable areas of the coastal regions of Guntur and Nellore, the plains and jungles of Kodappa district, Chengalpet and North Arcot districts have yielded innumerable Paleolithic tools. Dharwad, Bijapur and Bellary districts in Karnataka and in southern Marath country, various types of fine implements of old stones have been discovered. A single specimen from the Narmada Valley furnishes decisive evidence of man's contemporary with extinct vertebrate fauna. Page 40. An old factory of Paleolithic tools have been discovered in Godavari Valley. This will clearly prove the fact that from the earliest times man lived in the edge of the Deccan Plateau. The Stone Age man was a savage who took shelter in the drift of rivers or lakes and caves and lived on roots, fruits, nuts and game by chase. He used implements for cleaning, digging and smiting, and this tool was chipped in rock fragments. They were chipped mostly in the rough flint called quartzite. The greater number of old Stone Age tools found in South was made of quartzite, which was most suitable material. It was largely developed in North Arcot, Chengalpet and Nellore districts. Therefore, the Old Stone Age man of South India has also been called the quartzite man. Indian Paleolithics are characterized by variety, efficiency and shape lines. They are more numerous and better shaped than similar finds in Australia. The axes are pointed oval, square-edged and oblique-edged. The spears are of two types, narrow as well as broad-based. He was ignorant of the art of grinding, grooving and polishing. Anthropologists are of the opinion that man began his life on this globe as an eater of fruits and nuts. This opinion is based on the fact that his food tube was long, his tongue was smooth and his teeth were flat, whereas flesh-eating animals will have a short food tube, pointed teeth and a rough tongue. It is stated that due to seasonal variations, he felt the shortage of vegetarian food. Therefore, he cultivated flesh-eating propensities. This compelled him to learn hunting, Gradually he improved his tools and implements to hunt the bigger animals. Then he became a hunter of animals for food as well as for self-defense. Many choppers with sharp edges are discovered on the Paleolithic sites. These were used for cutting the meat of animals which he killed, yet his main food was fruit nuts and tubers. He dug out the roots from the earth with the help of the sharp weapons. Many succulent roots that are native to the South India were eaten by him. The axes, his spears and the hunting stones were not only used by him for hunting but also to fight with wild animals which would have otherwise exterminated him soon. Page 41. The Paleolithic man had to protect himself against the tigers, panthers, cheetahs, bear, elephants, wild boar, python, viper and the wild buffaloes. These innumerable dangers stimulated his courage and perfected him as a hunter. Bows and arrows were also used by him. The club and the spear became his close companions. The Paleolithic man was not altogether ignorant of fire. Traces of the use of fire are found in the Kernel Caves. However, in the opinion of the learned scholar Bruce Foote, no traces of the use of fire has been met with in deposits containing the oldest chip stones. But many scholars believe that use of fire must have been known to him. They must have devised means of obtaining fire. In southern India, bamboo which easily ignites by attrition is in plenty. Very frequently strong winds produce conflagrations in the bamboo groves. Even by rubbing or striking the flint stone, he must have obtained the fire. Gradually, he must have used fire for scaring away the wild animals and roasting the flesh of the animals hunted by him. Regarding the disposal of the dead during this age, we have some hypotheses. Evidently, the Paleolithic man in South India was a wanderer. He was in constant dread of the wild animals. He must have been scared by the death of his beings. As such, he must have abandoned the dead wherever they dropped down. Pottery was not being traced along with the Paleolithic tools. Therefore, he must have left the dead a prey to the carnivorous birds and beasts, and about his dress, he was naked. He did not cover his body with any kind of dress. South Indian conditions did not compel him to do so either. The climate was so congenial, being hot. When he became a hunter, he appeared to have covered his body with hides and skins of animals which he killed. As far as art of this age is concerned, in the French and Swiss caves, Paleolithic drawings and paintings are discovered. But no such art products have been found in South India except the pendants made of teeth found in Bilasurgam caves of Kurnool district. By the time of the transition from the Paleolithic stage to the Neolithic period, man was appearing to have improved tremendously. Though the Paleolithic man was called so because of the use of rough and crude stones, tools of unpolished nature, but towards the end of the stage, he had displayed a great talent.
Page 42.
4.3. The Neolithic Age. Certainly, it is not possible to say when exactly the Paleolithic Age came to an end and the Neolithic Age began in South India. In several places, Paleolithic settlements have gradually given place for the development of Neolithic culture. In this period, the trap rock was substituted for quartzite. He developed skill to polish the tools of trap rock extraordinarily smooth to the touch, domesticated the wild animals, and cultivated the wild rice, which led to the peaceful evolution of his new culture. He gave up the nomadic life of the Paleolithic age and began the settled life. The trap rock is tougher and was more suitable for the manufacture of the polished weapons of the age. The Neolithians chose the black colored trap, which occurs among the ancient granite formation as in Dharwa, Kudappa and Kurnool regions of South India. The habitations of Neolithians were naturally different from those of Paleolithians. The New Stone Age man lived in almost every province of India. Neolithic India was much more thickly and widely populated than Paleolithic India. The efficiency of Neolithic implements and wider distribution of the new material led to the occupation of many areas not occupied by Paleolithians. The Neolithic tools were of superior variety: cylinders, mace heads, milling plates, net sinkers, and so on. They were made of crab rock. It is tougher and tenacious than quartzite. It can be polished, though they selected the pebbles for making tools and saves labor. Later on, they procured their work material from the fragments of rock in suitable size and shape. Page 43. In fact, the domestication of animals was the first step that man took in the conquest of nature. The dog was perhaps the first animal to be tamed by him. The wild dog, after being tamed, became the hunting associate of man. Then sheep, goat, cow, and buffalo were domesticated by the Neolithic man. This led to the development of the pastoral life. A semi-settled life became noticeable. He could now change his habitat only when the grass fields nearby him exhausted to feed his cattle. This life ultimately gave room for the growth of joint tribal life. And finally, the joint family came to be evolved. When the Neolithic man learned to settle down in the grasslands, he also cultivated vegetation and crops. Thus, the food gathered became the food producer. Agriculture became his main occupation now. He gradually ceased to worry about food gathering. Agriculture meant more settled life and development. Subsidiary occupations like carpentry, crafts, and trade developed. Rice, millets, pulses, and fruits were produced. Various types of tubers or roots, which were wild formerly in South India, came to be cultivated. In India, no Neolithic houses are discovered so far. Probably, most of them were built of straw or plaited twigs. When the man abandoned them, they must have collapsed and were destroyed either by natural forces or the termites. Some of the Neolithic dwellings were built of wattle and clay, topped with bamboo or palm rafters, the upper ends of which were held together by being inserted into a broken pot and covered with a thatch of coconut or palmier leaves. Regarding pottery, in the Neolithic settlements of Anantpur, Kodappa, Karnool, Tinnavelli, Salem, Pudukottai, Tiruchunapalli, Bellary, Mysore, and Hyderabad, huge relics of Neolithic pottery have been discovered. They made the earthen pottery at first. They seemed to be no kilns at first. They might have burned the pottery in open fires. Later on, kilns were developed to bake them. The pottery was plain and decorated with paintings. The pottery includes burial urns, vases, bowls, figurines, cups, circular dishes, huge urns, lamps, etc. Potter's wheel seems to be of a later development. About the dress. The Paleolithic hides and skins remained the dress of the Neolithic man also for a long time. But he also learned the art of making clothes very soon. Page 44. Cloth was made out of a fibrous vegetation skin. Gradually, weaving cloth out of cotton was learned. The Neolithic man had a delicate color perception and made vegetable dye. They were yellow, indigo, and red. They also decorated themselves with beads and bangles of shell and bone. A specimen discovered in the Salem district reveals that the ladies of the Neolithic age dressed their hair in different attractive styles. A comb made of wood has been discovered embedded in white ash in a Neolithic site in the Anantpur district. All these indicate that the Neolithic man was far advanced in his civilization. He evidently adopted better techniques of civilization than his predecessors. Regarding disposal of dead during this age, a careful examination of several burial sites discovered near Pudukottai town revealed that the Neolithic man buried the dead in mud pits or placed the dead in pots before burial. The corpse was placed in a sitting posture in an earthenware pot, and then the pot was let into the pit. The pit was half filled with sand. Rice and other grains on a tray were placed before the dead. His tools of stone were also at the size of the pot. More sand was poured after that into the pot till it was full. The pot was covered with an earthen lid. The pot was placed in the pit and was filled with sand. Then a stone slab was placed on it. The most imposing prehistoric remains are the stone burial chambers known as dolmen, formed of four stones for the walls and the covering or roofs. The door may consist of two stones, but this does not alter the shape of the chamber. One weak point in the building was the foundation. Excavations were rarely made and the dolmens were built on the natural surface ground. In the giant dolmens, the human remains are heaped on the floor. A chamber may contain from 20 or 30 to 100 skeletons, including those of both sexes, adults and children. Dolmens are common to Asia, Africa and Europe. They are found as far as east as India. The Neolithic graves were oval-shaped. Thus, the Neolithic man developed himself stage by stage and even entered into metallic age. It was in metallic age that the prehistoric man displayed his hidden talents. New tools and implements of iron, bronze, and copper came to be made. He also developed excellent speech, and a highly organized life was led by him. South India witnessed these different stages of developments of prehistoric man. Page 45. Prehistoric sites in Karnataka. The study of prehistoric culture in Karnataka has been engaging the attention of many scholars. Two types of tools characterize the Paleolithic industry in India: choppers and hand axes. The predominance of hand axes is the typical characteristic of the Deccan, Karnataka and South India. Hand axe complex recalls European and African affinities, while the pebble chopper chopping complex suggests affinities with Java and Burma. One of the important open-air sites where Paleolithic man had made his home in Karnataka was at Kibbanahalli, Tiptur Taluk. The site lies at the foot of Banasandara Hills and has a large number of small streams, the gravels of which yield numerous tools and implements. There is abundance of hand axes. Among the flake tools, numerous scrapers discovered. The presence of the hollow scraper indicates that the Paleolithic man of Kibbanahalli used, in addition to stone tools, wooden implements. The hollow scraper was used to smoothen the body of the wooden spears. The borer is another noteworthy implement. It was probably used to bore holes in the skin of hunted animals with aid of the scrapers. Joshi, 1955, explored some 21 sites on Malaprabha. Of these, Manasgi and Khyad were major habitants of the Paleolithic man on the Malaprabha Valley. Other major sites are Lingadahalli in Chikmagalur district and Halagundi in Bellary. Both were discovered by Futa. Futa also noticed a number of minor sites: Talya, Nyamatti, Kudikappa, Gadigunur, Daroji and Anguru, Bellary district. A major Paleolithic site was explored just near the outskirts of the town of Bagalkot, Bijapur. The Ghat Prabha river has a vast pebble bed exposed in its midst when a large collection of tools was made. Very largely, the raw materials of their tools is sandstone. The excavations at T. Narsipur indicate Neolithic advance, especially in pottery, though evidences for the food-producing economy expect those provided by the polished cells are lacking. The findings at T. Narsipur indicates that the site was occupied by a non-metal using folk, and the pottery evidence shows that they were Neolithic. Most of the sites excavated in Karnataka do not indicate a separation between the Chalcolithic and the Neolithic. Brahmagiri, Sanganakallu and Maski may be cited as classic examples and confirmed by recent excavations at Tekalakota, Bellary and Hallur, Dharwad. The Chalcolithic culture presented by the sites are characterized by the occurrence and use of the following: copper and bronze in small quantity, block on red pottery and polished stone axes of strap. This brief survey has shown that the prehistoric culture of Karnataka was by no means isolated from the mainstream of Indian prehistoric culture, especially of South India, and if anything, it was homogeneous with regional differences in their material equipment. Age 46, 4.6, let us sum up. Let us gather together what we have learnt in this lesson. We began by noting the data relating the existence and activities of early man in Deccan and South India. Also, we have noted the contributions made by archaeologists, anthropologists, reconstruction, the history of early man during the prehistoric period. The physical as well as cultural relics of prehistoric man have been found in different parts of Deccan and South India, especially in Krishna, Tungabhadra, Godavari, Kaveri regions. We have also seen that prehistoric man's achievements are characterized by Stone Age culture. The first Stone Age period was marked by the use of rough stone. In this, he was a great hunter and gatherer who lived in caves. We have seen how this food gatherer and hunter was transformed into food producer in the new Stone Age. Domestication of animals, sedentary agriculture, and village settlements were important changes which were reroutined life prehistoric during the new Stone Age. Page 47. The use of sharp and polished stone implements were the hallmark of this period. This age was succeeded by metallic age, where metal tools were manufactured for production food, construction of building, and clearing of forests. This was greater achievements of early man. All these trees of early man is found in Deccan, Karnataka, Andhra, and Tamil Nadu. However, this phenomenon of was not uniform throughout world, but subject to time and space, particularly so with in the subcontinent of India. 4.7 Questions for self-study. 1. Describe the life of early man in South India. 2. Sketch the life and achievements of Stone Age man of South India. Short notes. 1. Contribution archaeology. 2. Traces of early settlements in Deccan and South India. 3. Old Stone Age culture. 4. New Stone Age culture. 5. Prehistoric sites in Karnataka. 4.8. Books for further study. 1. P.T. Srinivasa Iyengar, The Stone Age India. 2. Panchanan Mitra, Prehistoric Cultures and Races of India. 3. R.R. Divakar, Karnataka Through the Ages. 4. Yazdani G., The Early History of Deccan, 2 volumes. 5. Romila Thapar, Recent Perspectives of Early India. 6. P.B. Desai, Karnataka Through the Ages.